So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Hey, man, I was talking to my buddy, Kevin James. Not King of Queens, Kevin James.
Not him.
And he asked me, what's the first thing that the new coach should do? I said, have a meeting with the key players, fly them out some plays and chop it up. He said, you know, he was thinking that too, maybe a dinner, games, let loose.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know what, would be a good, cool icebreaker. They're going to do some games. Hey, Lamar, I heard you like staying up playing games. Let's play some Madden. Icebreaker. I don't know if that'd be a good idea. Do you have any worries now that they finally got rid of the coach? I mean, well, you definitely have worries because you didn't want to get rid of him.
No, I'm not worried at all, actually. I mean, look, in my heart, I think it had to happen because I didn't like what I saw. And, you know, I just don't think the coordinators reined in enough. I think he got married to Zach Gore because he liked him and gave him a shot. And I don't think he was up for the job yet. I don't like some stuff on the offense. No, I'm not not worried. I think I'm confident that – I'm just confident. I'm very confident in DaCosta. I think he's a really smart man. He's been in football his whole life. He's been with this organization for how long? He was with the Browns before they came.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he's been here forever. I'm confident they're going to find a really good replacement. So I'm not worried because the team still stays. They're going to make some moves.
Yeah.
They're going to hire somebody. Same organization. And, you know, and I think it was time for a change because I don't think they're going to get it done with the guys with the assistant coaches.
Got this in from Phil. Good morning. I wanted John gone. At this point, I'm going to trust Steve, Eric, in the interview process to ensure the right candidate comes in and with a clear plan for Lamar and the defense. Right now, I'm open-minded. I don't know if I want the next coach to be offensive or defensive-minded. What I do know is that I want to get our defensive reputation back. That identity has always mattered to this organization. I would also love to see Ed Reed have a role in some capacity if possible. His presence and perspective could be valuable. I'm looking forward to seeing how this all plays out. I read that because Ed Reed's name has come up multiple times mm-hmm. to me, inbox and on social media.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on that?
You know I love Ed Reed.
You do? Mm-hmm.
I do.
So it's almost like you and me answering the Biff Poggi question.
Right. No, I mean, I do. I really like Ed Reed. I have access to him because of Glenn. Basically.
Right.
You know, through our friend. I've been around him a lot. I like him a ton. I've loved him as a player. I think it's hard when you have someone who is arguably, or not, he's probably, to me, the best safety to ever play that position. So, I mean,
I don't know how you argue that.
Yeah, I mean, people can throw somebody out. I mean, I don't know. He's the best safety I've ever seen play football. The problem when I think with guys like that coach, Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, how do you live up to that standard?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I had this discussion with somebody about coaching people up. You have someone as, you know, as good as they are. The problem is these guys were so significantly blessed genetically. They were just better than everybody else. I don't know if they can tolerate people that aren't. And it's like, you can take a guy who's talented and coach him up and teach him and teach him and teach him. But it's like, you know, it was like two things, analogy. It was like asking Pavarotti, teach me to sing like you. Mm-hmm. You can't. You go to the microwave, right? You put a bagel in.
Mm-hmm.
You hit the pizza button. Still bagel. You know what I mean? You can't make something that isn't that. You know, it's still a bagel when it comes out. It's not pizza. And I just don't think it works when these really talented guys become coaches.
I wish it did work like that.
I did too.
I got this from my buddy Molino. Be careful what you wish for. Where Lee Evans dropping his 8th foul fumble from 2 more Super Bowls. See, this is what I argue with people all the time. Two things to that, Molino. If you do catch the ball, if you're Lee Evans, what makes you think they're that hungry in year number 2 to go back to the Super Bowl? How many people have repeated other than the Patriots and Chiefs?
The Chiefs. Yeah.
So that hunger from just missing 2011 mm-hmm. may have been their drive for 2012. So let's put that on the shelf. Mm-hmm. All right, so your Lee Evans drop. You're also a Billy Cundiff miss in that same game. You are a have two 14-point leads against the New England Patriots. Don't forget about that, away from advancing in the playoffs. You are not only a Zay Flowers drop in the end zone from the Super Bowl, but what about advancing to give yourself another chance for AFC Championship if your tight end doesn't drop the football in the end zone? It could have been a 2-point conversion. My point is, Molino, we can sit here and stack what-ifs constantly, and near misses have become a culture with this football team.
Yeah,
and near misses, and that culture starts with the top. It's been a lack of focus over and over in games that matter, including the game number 17 of the season this year. So you're right. Those things could be true. However, I can give you more what-ifs in the postseason, and it makes me believe it's a culture.
Yeah,
and sometimes you got to change the culture where those near misses and lacks of focuses don't happen.
Well, it's like, look, we had this discussion privately with someone, and I sent the Lombardi quote. I've carried it in my date book for years. You had it in your office. This is the quote I sent. Winning's not a sometime thing. It's an all-time thing. You don't win once in a while. You don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Winning is a habit. Unfortunately, so is losing.
Yep.
And that, to me, it says a lot because – you know, we have all these, and there are. You can cite a million of them. You can cite the Pitta drop last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this year, obviously.
He dated himself. Pitta drop last year.
Yes. Andrew's drop. The loop miss. The Lee Evans and Cundiff. We can look at all these things.
Uh-huh.
That's the quote.
It's becoming habits.
You do them right all the time. This should not happen. And I love that quote. I know you do too. I think it's really apropos in this situation.
Parkville, Donati. What's up, Donati?
What's up, what's up, Rob Long? It's me, Gennady, the legend from Jimmy's Famous Seafood.
Oh, what's up, man? How are you doing, legend? What's going on, man?
Good. I just want to say some stuff. John Harbaugh's been the coach since I've been in high school. I mean, I've liked him for so many years, but the last couple years, I felt like that, you know, it's just been like downgrading to see how far we've come, and then we blew it at the end, and then especially this year. I mean, there was like three games where we had double digit leads, and we blew it at the end.
Well, Donati, let me tell you this, man. Next time you call in here, don't give me no Donati. Give me legend. All right, give me legend, man. Come on, Donati. He's the legend. If you go to Jimmy's Tailgoat,
uh-huh,
he's the guy that gets up there, takes his shirt off, and spells Ravens and gets the whole crowd round
really
up. Yes. Yes. Man, Donati. You better call in here again, and next time you call, I want to hear legend. Solomon in Catonsville. What's up, Solomon?
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Doing all well. Right. How are you?
Doing good. There's two guys out there I would love to see the Ravens give a shot at for the next head coaching position. Steve Spagnuolo and Marvin Lewis. What do you guys think about that?
No. I got nothing else for you. No.
Yeah. No. No. And what people do, I wish they would not throw out the name, but tell us why.
Yeah.
Tell us why you like them. Defensive minded, bad organization, held them down, whatever it may be. The woman, I guess, the woman about Flores, she had an answer.
She had an answer for the wrong reason.
You know? And so, okay, I'll accept that.
Hard to argue when you give me your reason. That's your reason.
Yeah, there's no right and wrong. It's your opinion, but give me a reason.
So, all right, Luther. Mark in Baltimore. What's up, Mark?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. You know, it was time for a change. I liked Harbaugh for a long time, but you look back at the last 18 years, and a lot of people are saying how it was such a great run, and I walk away from it thinking it was an underachieving run. You know, one championship in 18 years just in the Lamar era alone, you've had the best regular season football team in the league at least three times, and you walked away with nothing. You didn't even sniff a Super Bowl, much less win one. But there are two names that I believe could be viable coaches for this team, and they both have head coach experience. One on off or defensive side of the ball would be Brian Flores. believe he got a very raw deal in Miami. I think he'd be a great replacement. And if they wanted to go offense, I think it has to be Kevin Stefanski. This team, the way it's built, I think has another run in it with an experienced head coach. Those guys would be my picks. Stefanski, that situation in Cleveland reminds me so much of the Mike Vrabel situation in Tennessee. I think he would be great. And, you know, I tell you a name to maybe keep an eye on for offensive coordinator is possibly Cliff Kingsbury. I think we need someone that knows how to coach a mobile quarterback, knows how to call plays for a mobile quarterback. My only fear is that whoever comes in brings in a coordinator that's never had a talent like Lamar before, and we kind of get stuck in this situation where the play calling is more traditional to a pocket passer. When Lamar is a generational talent, I believe, you know,
Here's the thing, Mark. Two things I want to stick with here. If you just said he's a generational talent, that means there are no other play callers out there. Nobody else has had a Lamar other than the guys who have had Lamar.
And there is nobody like him, yes.
Number two, who are the traditional pocket passers now? Where are they?
Right.
Where are these guys? Who are these guys?
Go around the league.
Exactly.
Is it Baker Mayfield?
No.
Is it Jaden Daniels?
So that I'm not – number one, you're not going to find another coordinator unless he's already been a coordinator for Lamar who knows how to coordinate for a guy like Lamar. Number two, the pocket passers –
I'm glad he brought up two names, the Kingsbury name and he brought up Flores. Let's compare the two. Flores, I don't think he's going to head coach again because of the whole throwing his owner under the bus.
Kingsbury shouldn't.
That's another issue. However, you have Lamar, he brings up the quarterback issue. Think of who Kingsbury's credited with developing. Baker Mayfield, Mahomes, Kyler Murray, Caleb Williams, and Jaden Daniels, most recently. That's who he's credited with developing. So, I mean, I see him as a more viable candidate than Flores.
Cordell Woodland, it's 8:30, but on the other side, are you worried about the Ravens not bringing in the right guy? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
On the Fan. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. You have any worries that the Ravens might not pick the right guy for the next head coaching job?
Of course. I'm confident that they will pick the right guy. I think a lot of Eric DaCosta. Actually, I think a lot of Steve Bisciotti. You know, I hear people bitching about him not being a public face, not being accessible. He's the owner. I want him to hire smart people and let them do the football stuff. And I like the way he operates.
Yeah,
me too. But I have a lot of faith in EDC. Yeah, I'm confident they'll do it, but I am worried because you don't know.
You don't know.
You don't, especially, you know, if you take a shot on a college coach. Say you do that. You take a successful college coach, give him a shot at the pros, and we've seen that not succeed. You guys go back to college, which for whatever reason, it's not the same. Coaching different, you go from coaching kids to millionaires. So there's that. And sometimes it just doesn't work. There's people are people. They're not perfect, and sometimes they're not a good fit, either for your personnel or your organization or whatever. So, yeah, there's always a risk.
I don't know how much legs it is to this, but did you see Kirk Cignetti is a possible candidate for the Raiders job?
I did not.
Just saw it up there.
Yeah. Well, that's a guy, the biggest story in college football, obviously. And they are for real, if you see what they just did last game. I mean, they've been new all season, but I think people expected different in the college football playoff. I'm like, nope. They crushed.
Do you strike while the iron's hot right now if you're him?
That's a tough one, man. But yeah, probably.
410-583-1057, that's the number. Let's go to Sean in Northeast Baltimore. Sean, what's up, man?
Hey, good morning, guys. Love your show.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
I know I'm beating a dead horse, but back after the Ravens won the Super Bowl with Harbaugh, they was like 1-4 until they drafted Lamar. So I still think Lamar saved his job. I don't think Harbaugh would be here if it wasn't for Lamar Jackson. And I agree with you on the Kingsbury. I think he'd be a great coach for Lamar. I think he'd be a great coach. And another thing about Harbaugh, his clock management, how many times were we complaining about that? How many times you see Lamar stomping his feet on the ground for them to get the play in? Mm-hmm. So that was another thing that, you know, made me really just a turn off with Harbaugh. And, yeah, that's about all I got to say. Thanks, guys. Love your show.
Thank you, sir. 410-583-1057. I'm sorry. I think Cliff Kingsbury would be a horrible selection for head coach. Absolutely horrible. 5-10-1, 8-8. He had that 1-11-6 year, 4-13. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't that good as an OC in Washington. I think right now we're just throwing names out.
Well, that's what this is. This is just an exercise in throwing names out.
That's the worst, one of the worst the ones that you can get. Let's go to Troy in West Baltimore. What's up, Troy?
What's going on, y'all? How y'all doing, man?
All right.
Man, I'm going to say this, man. And Rob, you know this. How many times have we seen, go back to the beginning real quick. How many times have we seen a special teams coach get a head coaching job on a veteran team like Ravens?
I don't think we've ever seen it before, but, you know, he was pretty good at it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. When he came in Baltimore, how many times was our special teams tops in the league since he's this great special teams coach?
I can't remember because I don't check out special teams.
Yeah.
The team has been so successful as the head coach. Yeah. I mean, come on, man. That's a reach.
Let me say this.
I thought you had an answer. How many times had they been tops?
Yeah. It was none. He have no game adjustments. He never goes to Lamar and say, Lamar can't go to him and say, what you looking at? They in cover two, cover four, cover six. What we got? No in-game adjustments, never. He only got that Super Bowl because of the veteran presence that we had. Anybody could have coached that team in 2012. He had nothing to do with that Super Bowl, bro. That was the veterans that we had here that was refusing to lose. He had nothing to do with that.
Nothing. So, you know,
that's just me. I mean, he's not special. I mean, he should have been out the door, you ask me. So that's my take on it.
Thank you very much. 410-583-1057 is the number.
You know, it's funny. So the coach has nothing to do with it. He has nothing to do with the victory, but he has everything to do with this 8-9 season.
That's life, bro.
I mean, come on.
That's life, bro.
This is what irritates me about these situations. I mean, he had nothing to do with the success. Nothing.
Anybody could have won with that team in 2012.
He had nothing to do with last year's record, the year before and the year before. This year, it's totally his fault. It's like, come on, man.
So before John Harbaugh took over, these are the Ravens' records the 4 years before they took over. 9-7, 10-6, 13-3, 5-11. Not very good.
Not very good.
And then all of a sudden they start going upward. They go 11-5, go to the AFC Championship, go to conference championship game. They go 9-7, lose in the division round. Go 12-4, lose in the division round. Go 12-4 again, lost in the conference championship. And then they go 10-6 and win the Super Bowl. So if anybody could have wanted, why did the coach before him get fired? And I don't want to sit here and defend John Harbaugh, but I'm going to defend him against things that are said are just made up.
Well, that's what I'm doing. Is it? Come on, I'll take the criticism. But, you know, bad clock management, bad decision, not taking the coordinators under control.
By the way, the last time they were
22-23 season, they were number one.
What?
Special teams.
I'm glad you looked it up, because who looks that up?
I did.
Who knows that off the top of their head? But I'm just saying, who knows that off the top
of their head?
Nobody,
and it's a dumb argument. They said 22-23 season, they were number one.
Does he get credit for when the defense won a triple crown? No, Rob. He's a special teams coach. Come on, man. I mean, if we want to debate things, let's debate things.
Yeah.
But don't just throw stuff again. Hey, how are you going to ask me a question you don't know the answer to? I don't know the answer to that. Special teams. The answer is, what do I care?
Yeah, and now we know. They were number one in that year, and the year before they were number four in the league. So it's
top five.
Yeah, top five.
Shovels at 8:45, but on the other side, Cordell Woodland joins us up next on The Fan. Shovels at 8:45, but right now, headed out to talk to our man on the scenes, Cordell Woodland. Good morning to you, Cordell.
Good morning, guys. Good
morning.
Cordell, I don't know where you were when you heard that John Harbaugh was no longer the Baltimore Ravens head coach, but what was your initial reaction? Shut the front door.
I mean, you that definitely was an element of shock, without a doubt. Not because I didn't think that it needed to happen. I did, but just surprised that they actually did it.
Right. Me too.
So, I mean, they're in uncharted territory right now. It's been an organization that's been filled with stability. They don't have a lot of overhaul at the top, but with John gone, I mean, obviously that doesn't mean well for the coordinators usually, but yeah, I mean, that just signals that there's a major change coming to Baltimore. Steve Bisciotti, I mean, we don't get to hear from him a lot, but you know, you start to see some of the quotes from the few times we have heard from him over the years, and he has said at least that he wants to win championships now, and that just hasn't been what this version of the Ravens have been able to do, especially in the playoffs. They haven't played their best football. They haven't won a lot of these big games late in the year. And I think John has been there. You know, I think they've done right by John. I think John has overused his time, to be honest with you. So I think it just was time. I think it just got stale and they needed a change.
Hmm. All right. I think a lot of people agree. I mean, that's been the prevailing wisdom. You know, we get some vitriol where people think, you know, he has no some of the callers, you know, he deserves no credit for success they've had, which has been a lot, and all the blame for the failure. But that aside, we've been talking about, you know, possible candidates that would, you know, playing that game that everybody's playing. One of the names that keeps coming up, and it's your opinion because you're a fan of the team that he was last with, what do you think of Cliff Kingsbury?
It depends on what role. I don't...
Not as head coach.
Okay, yeah. I mean, if we're talking about offensive coordinator, sure.
No, I'm asking sure. You. You're saying not as head coach.
Oh, yeah. No. I wouldn't go Cliff Kingsbury as head coach.
Me either.
I mean, he... you have to judge him based off of what we've seen, and Arizona is Arizona at the end of the day. But I just don't really get the sense that that's where the type of move that they would make. I mean, if you're moving on from John Harbaugh, you're looking for somebody that you feel like can stick for a while and still embodies a little bit of, you know, the culture that you once said here, somebody that you feel like can join this organization and kind of fit in with everybody in that building.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you look at it, the Ravens are, I would say at this point, they're the top job available. I mean,
there's no doubt. No doubt at all.
You look at the organization, you look at having Lamar Jackson there. I mean, there's a plethora of talent on that team. That's the number one spot. So I think they could get really whoever they want. And the more I thought about it yesterday, the more, if I'm them, I would definitely try to kick the tires on Kurt Cignetti right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, I think that dude's the best coach in football these days. And I would not, the more I thought about it, the more I just felt like he fits in to probably how they run things with their organization. He's a great football mind. If he gets good coordinators here, mm-hmm. I mean, that dude looks like he knows how to coach anybody.
Players love him. Yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely kick the tires on him.
Cordell Woodland joins us, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show, right here on The Fan. All right, Cordell, we talked a lot about what the Ravens do next. Does John Harbaugh end up in New York with the Giants by the end of the month?
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I think John probably does fit with the Giants. I think him and the Mars probably would mesh well together. I think they'd align on a lot of different things. John probably will have options. You know, I don't think that's a surprise. I think people have said that for a long time. People have said that as reasons as to not get rid of John because he could get a job somewhere else. But, you know, at one point I was with somebody that I thought I couldn't live without. And she became my ex, and I found somebody else, and we got married, and life is good. So, you know, it could work out for both sides. I mean, John, I said it a lot on air. Just because I thought John should be let go doesn't mean I think he's a bad coach.
Same here.
I just think it's time.
Same
so,
here.
Yeah, I mean, he'll have his options, and John will pick where he wants. And the interesting part, and a lot of the reports are saying, now teams with head coaches are starting to try to rethink their plans with John available. So I think it'll be interesting. I don't think he'll jump at the first thing coming, but he will be able to go pretty much, it feels like, wherever he wants for the most part.
I'm with you, man. I feel like I'm surprised he didn't have a job before he left the parking lot, given the vacancies out there. One of the things, though, I mean, how do you feel now about all this? You know, there was the denial about the tension between Lamar and Harbaugh. People didn't believe the stories were coming out. I mean, Preston got assaulted verbally. But now that it's out nationally, that seems to be one of the biggest stories. So, I mean, do you believe that had a lot to do with this?
I don't know how much the Lamar of it all had to do with Harb's leaving.
Mm-hmm.
I have talked to a couple of people, and from what I have gathered, I don't know if it was that way to this point yesterday, but I think it was headed definitely to this point, at some point this offseason, to where it would have been a me or him situation between Lamar and Harbaugh. I don't think that's what got Harbaugh at.
No, that's not the question. Yeah, that's okay. My question is, do you believe there is? Because when he was asked,
is there tension between them? No doubt.
Yeah, because he gave less than an endorsement. He was very negative, in my opinion, when we spoke about Harbaugh.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's one of the worst kept secrets. I don't think Lamar Jackson is willing to, you know, go above and beyond to say how much he wants to keep Harbaugh. Let's say that. I mean, I don't think Lamar's the most angry person in Baltimore that John Harbaugh is gone right now. But it did seem like Steve was fed up with what was going on. And I mean, there are so many reports that came out yesterday, some conflicting reports. So I don't know. I mean, I'm sure everybody saw the Rossini report about him, about Harbaugh fighting for Monken. I'm actually surprised about that Harbaugh apparently wanted to run it back with some of them. I don't even think Monken should be fired. But from some of the reports that have come out, you'd have thought that there was tension even between Harbaugh and Monken at times. So, yeah, I just think, you know, as the more they sat down and talked about the season and just over the years, and the more they looked ahead to the future, the more they probably realized that it was time to go their separate ways.
Mm-hmm.
Cordell Wilkins, we hear you the rest of the week.
You'll catch me on some of the shows, I'm sure, as news continues to break. But me and Ben, the Fresh Take, our new night will be Thursday nights starting next week. So from 6 to 8 Thursday nights, you'll hear us unless there's a Maryland basketball game.
Thanks a lot, Gordo. Mm-hmm. Appreciate your time,
Thank
my
you.
Friend.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Mike Preston joins us at 9:30. But on the other side of Norris, we're giving out shovels.
Yeah, we are. I'm going to give it out to, it's related to this story, some of the fan base. And I'll tell you why. It's really bothering me.
If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter. At BBMS 1057 The Fan, shovels next.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100+ meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Time to give out shovels, Ed Norris. Who gets your shovel this morning?
Some of our callers today. Not all, obviously. Most of them have been great. But the ones that just throw things out of anger, personal distaste, that's fine. You can have your opinions. But don't say things that are factually incorrect or don't know what you're talking about. Because that drives me crazy. And
give us an example.
An example, we had a caller this morning, which I thought was a dumb argument in the first place. He brought up Harbaugh as a special teams coach. And then, you know, which is like, okay. He's a Hall of Fame coach, like it or not. I mean, he's been extraordinarily successful in this league. But that aside, his statement was, special teams coach, huh? He got the job. When was the last time the Ravens were number one in special teams? Well, the answer is 22-23. He didn't know. In 22-23 season, they were number one. out of the last, and I can only go back seven seasons. That's the only available statistic I had.
Because nobody kept track of that before.
Right. But they were number one then. The year before, 21-22, they were number four. All right. They were number seven in 17. I'll just give the 1 year. 2017, number seven. 2018, number two. 19, number 10. 20, they were 11. Then they were number one in 22. It's like, no, I'm sorry, and then 21, they were number four. They've been consistently good. They were number one once in the last 7 years. They were number four. They were number two.
So since they kept record, they were top 10 every year except for 1 year.
I think two. They were number 11 once. Yeah, yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Top 10 every year. Joe, you got a shovel to give?
I do. Whichever one of our coworkers decided to heat up sauerkraut in the... in the microwave yesterday at lunch.
Really?
The smell would not go away. It was awful. I hate the smell of sauerkraut.
I love sauerkraut.
I hate it all in general, but the smell specifically.
But I would not bring it to work.
That's not a work dish.
I was like, who did that? And I started looking around and there was nobody there. And I was like, what psychopath is just like, you eat it on things, right? You just don't sit down with a bowl of sauerkraut, correct?
I don't always eat sauerkraut on things. I'm going to eat it by itself.
Sometimes people do.
Yeah.
I've never eaten it. I never will.
On a hot dog,
you don't eat
hard-boiled
eggs either. You don't eat eggs.
I've eaten a hard-boiled egg in my... I had a deviled egg for the first time forever the other day.
Uh-huh. How good was it?
I almost threw up.
Really?
It's disgusting.
I love deviled eggs.
It smells... It tastes like the smell of a fart.
It's an egg.
I know.
That's why they smell
it's gross.
I love it.
Absolutely
man.
Gross.
You make a good deviled egg, I'm sitting in the corner and hiding the rest from you. My shovel goes to the people that texted me. Unfortunately, these people are my friends, and they want John Gruden. John Gruden won a Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 2002. After that, 7-9, 5-11. Oh, he went 11-5. 4-12. 9-7, 9-7. 4-12, 7-9, 8-8. John Gruden, on top of that, after winning the Super Bowl, went to two playoff games. He went to a playoff game in 05 and in 07. He was 0-1 in both playoff games. So since winning the Super Bowl, John Gruden has had three winning seasons out of 10. Well, you can say four because his last year went 3-2, so give him that. But he's only been in two playoff games. It goes back to what you said, Ed. And when I said that to one person, they didn't know that. So it goes back to this. What do you like about these people? What made you like John Gruden?
Right.
Honestly. Because if you didn't know, and the three people that texted me when I said that his record, no, two people text, one said it last night when I was out.
Yeah.
And when I give them his record after winning the Super Bowl, I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. So if you didn't know it, then what is it that you like about him?
And that's my frustration. I don't mind debating. I don't care if you don't agree with me. But, I mean, at least back it up with some facts more than just, I like, why? I think it was Wanda. Was it Wanda? I can't remember. It was a woman called this morning.
Yeah.
She wanted Brian Flores. I disagree because of his lawsuit against Ross at the Dolphins, criticized the owner. I think that's a death sentence for guys who, you know, criticize the boss. You're not getting another job with another boss. Mm-hmm. It's a small club.
The old boys club.
Yeah, so to say that, you know, it's. But anyway, she gave me reasons. I was like, okay, I get it. That's your view. We have a different opinion. I respect it. But this thing with, you know, and the Gruden thing, he wins the Super Bowl in 03, right?
02, I think.
The two seasons.
Yeah, it was his season.
The two seasons. He wins in 03. He inherits. The Buccaneers had the number one defense in 2002, number one in the NFL. He inherits that team with the number one defense. It was very similar to the Ravens. The quarterback was very pedestrian, Brad Johnson.
Brad Johnson, yep.
Brad Johnson, and he has the number one defense in the league. The Buccaneers destroy the Raiders. They pick up off Rich Gannon five times. They just annihilated the Raiders. He was the coach of the Raiders the year before. He knew everything about the team. Tony Dungy built the Buccaneers. I'm not taking anything away from Gruden because he won as the coach. He got the ring. He deserves the credit. But
he did nothing afterwards.
Right. But you're right. You look, since he inherited that incredible team, because that defense is one of the best in history, right? It's right after the Ravens and the Bears. It's in that discussion. So, you know, since then, he did nothing. So, like, what are you talking about?
Since then, since 2002, he's 0-2 in the playoffs. What do you want about him? Brandon, the habit of grace. What's up, Brandon?
Hey, guys, hold on real quick. You forgot he did have a show on ESPN where he talked about quarterbacks. I guess that's got to count for something.
And he loved every quarterback that he talked about, Brandon, if you remember. I love this guy. This guy is exactly unbelievable. Right.
Hey, but real quick, fellas. Number one, I think it's pretty ironic that we're talking about Harbaugh on Wednesday, which is also known as Hump Day, considering that that was the one thing Harbaugh couldn't do was get us over the hump, right?
Oh, right. Well, I like what you did there.
but real quick, I'll tell you, before, you know, when I, because I've had a couple of years to prepare for this moment, right? I've envisioned our team kind of moving beyond the Harbaugh era, and I've kind of developed a profile and what I wanted to see in a coach, and I'll tell you two guys that's at the top of my list.
Okay.
So my coaching profile is I wanted a young offensive mind that came from a coaching family, because I look in across the league and I look at what's working, right? A lot of the guys who come from coaching families who are young, sharp, that's the seams of that McVay kind of profile, right? So,
oh, you mean, okay, guys, you mean Cuban coach? You mean the coaching tree or his dad was
family.
A coach?
I think both. I think one that comes from a coaching family, right? Because if you look at the Kyle Shanahan, you look at the LaFleurs, right? You look at you know, some of the other guys out there. They come from coaching families, right? McVay, right? You know, I think that kind of works. So, you know, when you look at those two guys, at the top of my list has got to be Mike LaFleur and Clint Kubiak.
Yeah, I just mentioned Kubiak,
young,
too. Yes.
Sharp mind that I think that can carry us for a while, like Harbaugh did, right? Because he came from a coaching family.
Yeah.
But these are guys who actually call plays, or I think, and they have that situational football knowledge, and they've just been around. And I think those are the guys going to help Lamar. Those things is going to help the organization and put us in the next stratosphere. And so, you know, that's what I'm excited about. You know, thanks Harbaugh to his service, man. He's a great man, did a lot for this community. But I just think it was time. And two things can be true, right? I think that it can be true that it's time for us to move on from Harbaugh, but I also think that he was a good coach, too. So
I totally agree with you.
He left a lot.
Hey, Brandon, thanks a lot for the call, man.
I think that's a good call. I totally agree with you. The two things, yes, both can be true at the same time.
Coming up on the final hour of the show, Mike Preston joins us at 9:30, but on the other side, are you shocked that Bisciotti made the decision to fire John Harbaugh? What do you make of the reports that Harbaugh's refusal to fire Monken? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.